So we're going to look at Hebrews 12, starting at 12:25. And I want to talk a little bit about this, about the shaking on earth that is going on today. Okay, God's shaking things. I don't know if you know. You probably do. You probably can see it. You probably can just look at the news. You probably can just pay attention to things going on around in the world, and you can see there's some shaking going on in the world today. And we feel it personally. Okay, we even experience it personally. And when we look at some scripture in like Hebrews 12, 25 through 29, the writer here is writing about the shaking that God is doing, and he's talking about two different covenants, because I wish we could look at the whole of the scripture here, but he's talking about the covenant that had on Mount Zion, where there was a great trembling and shaking. Even people were afraid to even approach Mount Zion as God's presence was on Mount Zion, and it was just this almost terrible thing to behold, as there was, you know, these clouds and smoke and it was quaking and lightning and all this stuff. You know, it was just a fearful thing to behold. And of course, they would fear for their lives. Like, do not even come and touch the mountain. And then there's the new covenant that we're called to, the covenant that Christ calls us to in a relationship that is a different covenant altogether. Yet, in that context, the Hebrew writer says this. We pick up in verse 25. It says, "See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, Moses, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warned us from heaven, who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let me just pray. Lord God, teach us your word. Show us what you're saying to us in this day, in this time. God, show us, Lord God, reveal to us your living word. And I pray, God, that we will take from here things that we need to hear, our heart needs to hear, and apply to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I think you could agree, there's a shaking going on in the world today. We can just look at current events and see that it seems like almost the world is unstable. It's teetering and tottering. And there's certain places in the world, it's incredibly unstable. There's wars and things going on. People do not have a normal life in any sense of the word. There are even people who cannot even live in their hometown because there's bombs dropping and the fear always of bomb drop. They can't even live there, so they're dispossessed from their homes. And they have to live as refugees elsewhere, sometimes even in other countries. And we see that going on in the world today. I mean, literally, at one of our game night, it becomes so real. When you meet somebody and they bring their children and the family from Afghanistan, they're removed from their home because of situations and occurrences and things going on in the world. They can't live there anymore. But the Lord has provided a way for them to live here. So you see things that are going on and affecting people in very profound ways, that things just, the status quo is, things are just not going to stay the same, right? And that's the what's going on in the world, where things just cannot stay the same. The status quo is changing. You know, Scripture tells us here, as we read, that what can be shaken will be shaken. Okay, just expect it. What can be shaken will be shaken. Nations are being shaken and will be shaken. Institutions are being shaken and will be shaken. Businesses, financial institutions will be shaken, are being shaken. Individual lives are also being shaken. You see, we're not immune to the shaking. The shaking just doesn't happen out there in far, far away places. It's happening here too, and it certainly affects our lives. There's a lot of shaking going on in the earth in this season, and there's more to come. Now, we can read about this shaking in different ways. We can kind of approach this and read some different things into this. One is very positive. One thing is, you know, God is shaking nations. He's moving on the earth today. And that's good in many ways because God is moving against evil. He's against evil rulers. He's against evil nations. And there's going to be shaking going on. Some rulers are going to fall. Okay, they're going to lose their power. They're going to be dispossessed out of their power. Okay, God's coming against them. Wicked leaders in this world will not stand. They'll be shaken. Those who oppose God, they will not triumph. They will not win, though it sometimes looks like they're winning. I mean, at one point in time, it looked like Hitler was winning, right? He was gaining ground. He was gaining a whole lot of ground. It looks like he was prevailing. There was a time and a place where it was oppressive. You know, if you were in England and they were showering bombs down on you and you were going into bomb shelters every night, you were probably thinking that the world was coming to an end for you. But God prevailed. He brought about justice. The tide turned. And sometimes in the war of things, there's a turning of the tide. There's a not giving up. I can't quote Churchill this morning, but he was that bulldog personality who would not give up, who would not throw in the towel, unlike his predecessor who was ready to raise the white flag. He says, we will prevail. We will stand in these dark times, and we will win out. You see, you have to have that bulldog mentality oftentimes when things are shaking, when they're really moving, and it's very uncertain. It's very uncertain. Times are uncertain. You need that unshakable faith to know that God's going to see you through, that the tide will turn, and that God is going to prevail in this season. So we can read things in Scripture, and we can take great comfort. There is great comfort that the things in this world, the things that are even appalling, God is going to shake. You know, we also can take comfort that Scripture tells us that what cannot be shaken will remain. So there are things that cannot be shaken. And that's good, right? There are things that are for sure, that we can count on. There are things that will remain even after all the shaking is undoing and bringing things and toppling things that can be shaken. But God has things that cannot. He cannot be shaken. God cannot be overthrown. He rules and reigns. He is sovereign. That will not change. And it's also true that true believers will inherit a kingdom that cannot be overcome. The kingdom of God cannot be defeated. It cannot be overcome. And true believers will inherit this kingdom. What else cannot be shaken? God, His kingdom, and His word. His word. His word cannot be shaken. His word is true. His word stands the test of time. It will endure. You know, we look at God, and God says that he's described throughout Scripture as a fortress, a stronghold in which we take our refuge. So when we need refuge, where our refuge is? It's in God, because God is our fortress, and He cannot be overcome. And the Word of God will endure. It says the Word of God, His Word, will endure. The Word planted in you, the Word planted in me, it's sure. It's a truth that is unchanging. I'm going to read this one passage here. It says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." The living and enduring Word of God. That means that Word of God that was planted in you is imperishable. It's imperishable. And it cannot be taken out. No one can steal that. No one can steal that out of you. What God has planted in you cannot be taken from you. It cannot be stolen. And the Scriptures also continue. It says, "For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever." The word of the Lord endures forever. So it's a contrast of God and his glory versus man's glory. You know, the glory of man will fall, you know. All the glitz and the glamour and the riches and everything, you know, that will pass away. That will go away. It's like flowers in the field. It's beautiful and amazing for a week or two, for a short season, but then it fades away and it is no more. But God's word endures forever. So we know there are things that remain even with the shaking that's going on. You see, what belongs to God will endure. What belongs to him. And I hope that every person in the sound of my voice, whether you're here in this room or you'll hear this later, that you belong to God. That you've given your life to Jesus. You've given yourself to him and you've accepted the call. You've accepted the call to belong to him, to be his and none others, to not live for anything else except to live for the Lord God Almighty. And to receive that word and let that word do a work in you. Again, nobody can take that from you. Nobody can take you. Nobody can snatch you out of the hands of God when you belong to him. And so we will endure because we are his. We belong to him. You know, God deals with things that can be shaken. He is dealing with things. And in the Hebrew passage that we read at the beginning, in the Hebrew passage, there's a word also here for the church. Okay, and so, and sometimes people wonder, well, God's shaking those things out there, but it also applies to the church. Now, I want to say this, because everything that we call church today is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will prevail, but everything that we call church today will not prevail, because everything that we call church today is not the kingdom of God. So I just want to make sure it's not necessarily one and the same. Even though it should be, right? It really should be. But I'm looking at that from a human perspective of what we sometimes build, and it's not God. See, God is shaking the church too. He's shaking institutions, he's shaking this world, shaking nations, shaking leaders, all this kind of stuff, but God's also shaking the church. You know, we see it even this week. If you've been in the news lately, you've probably had some shocking news to find out that some pastors that are highly, highly revered. I mean, these are some of the most revered, I mean, I would say top 10, even top 5 pastors of just highly respected, highly revered men of God who are leading mega churches and highly successful are being exposed. There's sin that's coming out that all of a sudden is, and the media is having a heyday. Oh, the media loves this. Oh, men of God who have failures in their lives. Oh, we're going to take this as far as we can take this and try to shame the church. But do you know the church is not built on a human, on a person? You know, this will upset a lot of people. And for some people, this will shake their faith because someone they maybe even have revered. And these men I highly respect. And I don't mind saying, but you know, you have Tony Evans and Robert Morris and men of great stature. Men, I've listened to their sermons, and I've gleaned a lot from their ministries. And you know what? That's another word. I still will. Because I believe they're redeemed of the Lord. And that's another word. But these men have had some things in their past that have caused them to step down. Rightly so, to step down. Some things known, some things unknown. But they stepped down as a pastor. But will the church go on? Absolutely. Absolutely. As long as people don't place their faith in the wrong place. Because that can happen. You know, it's like the Pope. If you're a Catholic and you put you're like glorifying the Pope or Mary or anybody like that, your faith is in the wrong place. Because it's all about getting our eyes back to Jesus. So there's a shaking going on as even men of great prominence are falling in our eyes. It's like, oh, Lord, what's going to happen with the church? What's going to happen with the Christian? What's going to happen with these mega churches? I mean, I believe they'll continue to prosper if they walk through this season with integrity and godliness and prayer and wisdom. If they walk through this season, they're going to come out great. As long as they didn't base the ministry on a man, but on Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the truth of Christ that saves lives. Men don't save lives. Jesus does. So I think these churches, if they're wise and prayerful, they're going to walk through this and be just fine, no matter what the media is saying. But they'll lose some people. Some people will fall out. That's inevitable. So all this stuff is playing out before the world. And sometimes there's this, some people might have a fear, is the church crashing? Is the enemy winning? Sometimes it feels that way. But again, the church is never built on a man. It's always built on Christ. And in this time, what happens in this shaking, it's a call. It's a call to get our eyes on Jesus. It's a call to refocus. It's a call to refine our focus. Because if our focus has been in the wrong place, it's time to adjust. It's time to adjust the prescription on our lenses. Because we're focused on the wrong things. We need to get it back on Christ. We need to get it back on Him. And to see Him lead the church going forward. And He needs us. He needs leaders. He needs people that are following Jesus, who are giving their lives to Him. Absolutely. But getting our focus in the right place is absolutely huge. And I don't believe this will be the last of seeing stories in the news about men of God or women of God falling or have done. And maybe they're inappropriate things, like one of the news, it was 40 years ago. Or it was a long time ago, but the consequences are still catching up. I don't think this will be the last that we'll hear of things like this, because I think the shaking is going on even now, and it will continue to go on. There's a working that God is doing, okay? There is a working that God is doing. He still has a purpose and plan. He's not throwing away these men, okay? By the way, I still believe He has a purpose for these men. They're no longer pastors of the church, but He still has a purpose for them. And I do believe if they have truly repented of their sins, and they may have repented 40 years ago, or whatever, if they truly repented, they're redeemed. They're going to heaven. They belong to God. Okay? Some things will get shaken out, but they belong to God. And I say that because I will even say that sometimes the way we see people changes when we find out about their sin, or what they did a long time ago. Sometimes the way we see things, like if we find out somebody, all of a sudden somebody you're talking to, you said, oh, you were in prison. Oh, really? You know? Well, I came to Jesus in prison. Okay, well, what'd you do? You know, as you're backing away. What'd you do? Well, I murdered somebody. But that's not who I am now. Oh, good, brother. I was about to invite you over for dinner, but I don't think I am now. The way we see things is differently than the way God sees things. God could take a murderer who comes out of prison, who's truly saved and redeemed and repented of their sins, and we can call him he has the righteousness of God. He's the righteousness of God. And so even though some people have done some despicable things in their life, and this is the grace that's for you and me, we can actually claim that, no, we have the righteousness of God because it's upon us, it's on us. We are redeemed. If you want to just do a study on your own, study the life of King David. How could God honor that man, King David, and still use him through all the stuff he did? How does God treat leaders? How does He handle leaders that still keep their heart right before God and repent of their sins? How does God handle? And there's a big difference between people who repent of their sins and people who don't. And the way God handles that is distinctly different. Okay? Just read Saul and read about King David. And you'll see a distinguishing difference about how God handles His leaders. Okay? But then there's the question of, how does God handle you, and how does God handle me? How does He handle us, His children? One thing He does is He disciplines us. And when we get out of line, if we're truly sons and daughters, He will discipline us. If you run around and you see undisciplined people in the church and there seems to be no correction, you kind of wonder, are they truly sons and daughters? Because sons and daughters truly receive the discipline of God when they get out of line. Okay? God will let us go for a season sometimes, waiting for our repentance, but then He will bring us under discipline. So we can't believe at any point that we're free from this shaking that's going to go on in the world, that is going on. We can't fall, that really realize that our lives are not affected. Our lives are affected. And if we see what's happening to leaders and we see what's happening to the world, in many ways it should put a fear of God in us. That God is doing things in the world where he's not just accepting anything as okay. We cannot do as we please. Everything, it says everything that's hidden in the dark will be exposed. Just as these men, these leaders are being exposed, you know, that which affects a whole lot of people. But on a smaller micro level, things in our lives will be exposed. And they are not to remain hidden. You know, the stuff that we build our lives on, the Bible says it will be tested. How we build our lives and what materials we use to build our lives, they will be tested with fire. It says God is a consuming fire, and the things of our lives and how we built and the materials, did you use gold, did you use silver, or did you use straw and stubble? You know, what did you use to build your life? It will be tested. There will be a fire that will test the construction of your life. You know, why does God even expose sin? Why does he do that? Is he mean? Is he trying to embarrass us? Is he trying to shame us? No, that's a worldly way of doing things. That's not God. See, God's not trying to. Why does God expose sin? Is he trying to embarrass these pastors? No, he's not. But God, when God exposes sin, I realize sometimes it's the enemy. But when God exposes sins, it's a call to repentance. It's a call to get right. It really is. You know, sometimes we'll see exposure as a consequence of our sin. But it's our responsibility to not defend ourselves, but to repent. To repent of any and all wrongdoings. You know, King David would be an example. It took the prophet coming to him and exposing his sin. But when it was exposed, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and he repented. He didn't try to defend himself. He humbled himself and he repented. And there were consequences of his sin. There was terrible consequences that affected the rest of his life. But he was forgiven as he humbled himself. So there's things in our life that need to be shaken. There's things that we've come to rely on instead of God that will be shaken. I mean, think about it in the world today. If there's things going on in the world today and we can't escape, I mean, there could be things that happen on a macro level that affect us on a micro level. I mean, what if there's a stock market crash? What if there's financial collapses in banks? I mean, some people believe that's going to happen. It's inevitable that we can't just continue on with trillions and trillions of dollars of debt or whatnot. I'm not an expert, so I don't do predictions. I don't do that. But what if you get to a point in your life where you trust in your 401k that you think everything's good, everything's right, I've got it all settled in life. It's all good. I'm self-sufficient at this point. Or are you? Right? You know, the God who has blessed us will also sustain us in hard times. Sometimes we have to remember what even hard times are like. But there's times when we really had to trust in God. God doesn't want us to become so self-sufficient that we forget about who's the one who is our provider to begin with. You know, fear will undo those who don't have a sure footing in the Lord. Because if your sure footing is in God, and it's not in your 401k or whatever it might be, then when those shakings do come, when those shakings do happen, you'll be fine. You'll be okay. You may have less money in your bank, but you'll be fine. You'll be okay. And there will be no reason to fear or live in fear because those things which are shaken, yes, they're falling, but you're standing on what cannot be shaken. You're standing on sure footing. You're on the rock. So it's only that which cannot be shaken that will stand up during the violent season of shaking. And people are saying it's going to get worse before it's going to get better. So let us not be surprised when we see more shaking going on, even in the church. We must remember that Christ is coming back for a purified bride. So some of the purposes of what God is doing is to purify his bride because he's calling us to holiness. The calling has not changed. We still are called and have been called to holiness, to righteousness, to live by his standard, the Word of God. So we should welcome the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We say, yes, Lord, convict me of anything in my life that just doesn't, it doesn't stand up. It doesn't stand up against testing. A conviction to get right in every area of our lives. You know, if there's any area of the life of your life that the enemy can accuse you of, he's going to. He's going to bring accusation against you. Just like he's bringing, there's accusation going on against well-known people, figures out there. If you're guilty, you're guilty. He has a case against you. But if what you have done, your wrongdoings, is under the blood of the Lamb, he has no case in the court of heavens against you. He can accuse you, but the verdict is not guilty because it's under the blood of the Lamb. You see, if we're redeemed, we're not guilty. He can accuse us. He's like the lion that roars. The Bible says he is a roaring lion, but he's a roaring lion that is toothless. Because when it comes to trying to accuse the brethren, to accuse the people of God of sins that are under the blood of Jesus, he has no bite. He has no bite. He cannot take from us. He cannot do anything to us. He just intimidates. He just tries to put fear into people. I mean, isn't it fearful to get a letter in the mail and say you're being sued for such and such? Or the IRS is now going to do an audit on you, or whatever they do. I mean, if you're pure and clean, you have nothing to fear, right? You have nothing. But if you cheated on your taxes, okay, you have something to fear. And there's something to get right, and to get under the blood. Okay, there's confession that needs to be made. There's repentance that needs to take place. So the enemy can't do anything to you. And so he says, don't give the enemy a foothold in your life. That's what Scripture instructs us to do. Don't give the enemy a foothold in your life. He'll make you think that everything's just fine. But then when he wants to close the trap, it's quick, it's sudden, and it can be brutal. He'll make us think that everything's okay. So we don't give footholds for the enemy. Ephesians 4. Verse 22, do we have that scripture? Ephesians 4, yeah. It says, you were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold. You know, when we give an inch to the enemy, he wants to take a mile. He just wants a foothold to get in. That's all he wants. And he'll use anything against us. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's what he's called, the accuser of the brethren. So we get it under the blood. We get everything in our life. That's why we say, Lord, Holy Spirit, convict me of anything in my life that's not right before you. I want to make sure it is, and that the enemy has no case against me. God's calling his people to holiness. You know, God has a purpose in everything he does. That's good. So the shaking, there's a purpose in what God is doing. He's purifying his bride. He's cleansing us. He's calling us to build our lives on sure foundations, not the things of this world. He's calling us to repent of sinful thinking and ways of living. Repent means changing our life, changing the pathway of our life. The shaking has a purpose. And when we look at the Old Testament back at Haggai, they were speaking of a shaking back then. God tells his people that he is shaking things. But it all has a purpose. It all has a purpose. Haggai 2, verse 6 says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord God Almighty. you know, if the Lord's shaking things, it has a purpose. Removing those things that need to be removed and the things that remain to remain. But what God's going to do is he's filling. He wants to bring greater glory to his house. He wants to bring greater glory to this earth. And that's what he's doing today. He's not just shaking things to shake things. He's shaking things in preparation. It's all preparation for his greater glory. It's all preparation for what he wants to do next. So expect a move of God. As you see things being shaken, expect a move of God more powerful than you've ever seen maybe in your whole lifetime. Because that's what God is doing. He's doing things. He doesn't just shake things to shake things. He's doing it in preparation. He's preparing his bride. He's preparing his people. But he's bringing his greater glory. So understand that that's what he's doing in this season. He wants to do it in your life. So if he's shaking things in your life and your life looks like it's falling down or things are crumbling in your life, he's only trying to get rid of the dross. He's only trying to get rid of the garbage, the things that need to go, the things that have been there too long, the things that you've been holding on to, and it's time to let go. Because he wants to do something greater in your life. But if you're still holding on to the past, if you're still living in wrongdoing and sin, he can't do those things. He needs to remove those things out of your life. But that's where our part is repentance. Our part is to give ourselves to him. But understand, he wants to do greater things in us, individually, in the church, the body of Christ, and in this world. He's doing greater things. So are you ready for God's greater glory? Are you ready for his move? Or is that going to upset your day-to-day life? Let it upset your day-to-day life. Be okay with that. It needs to upset the status quo. The status quo will no longer be the status quo. Things are changing. And as long as we're okay with that, and we see that God is in that, I mean, the enemy's messing with a lot of people these days, but God is right there in the midst of everything. He's not winning. So there is a time to humble ourselves. Humble yourself before the Lord. That's what the Bible says. It says, humble yourself before the Lord. Don't be humbled. The Lord will let us go and let us go and let us go. And the call is repent, humble ourselves. That's what we should do. Even in our daily lives, just have a mindset of repentance. But don't be humbled. Bill Johnson was talking to a person years ago. He was just telling this in a sermon I was listening to. He said this is a person of prominence. So he knew this person is a well-known person. He didn't name a person, but it was a person of prominence. And the person told Bill that what he wanted to do, he knew was wrong. He knew it was wrong. But he was going to do it anyway. And then ask God for forgiveness later. Now, Bill called that the spirit of stupid. And it is. I don't know if there's such a spirit out there in the demonic realm, but it's the spirit of stupid. Because to have that mindset is to say that you control the levers of forgiveness and repentance. That you control that. But you don't control any of that. And I appreciate what Bill was saying because it's a gift. And it's really by the grace of God that we can even repent anyway. We can't repent apart from the grace of God. Unless we have the grace of God, we cannot repent. And if we understand that, then it's not up to us that we can control that. That we can just go out and say, okay, today I'm going to sin. I'll just go get some forgiveness later. Like somehow God's just got to do it. And we also know that mere words don't matter. Because unless you repent from the heart, it doesn't matter. Mere words don't do it. Have you ever asked somebody who betrayed you? They ask you to forgive them, and yet they keep doing the same thing over and over again. Do you trust the person? Do you really think they repented? Or do you just think they kind of wanted they wanted your graces, but they just want to continue to do everything they wanted to do in sin? That's not repentance. So we don't control those things. It is by grace. It is by grace, and there needs to be a true heart repentance. So as God shakes things and calls us to holiness, there's a greater purpose going on. It's for today. It's for what God wants to do tomorrow. And in this season, in the church, in your life, in this world, open your eyes and see, God, what is your greater purpose? And humble ourselves in an act of submission to Him, that He is the greater one. And He has glorious things in store for us. So church, know that the shaking is going to go on. It's going to continue. It's going to get probably even worse. But there's the greater glory of God in the midst of it, and it's coming. A greater of glory of God that's coming. So keep your eyes open and keep with expectancy in your heart that His kingdom and all that belongs to Him shall remain.